Many people don't know that Peter, you are the rock on which I will build my church, is wordplay. Because Peter, Petra, is one letter different than the word for rock, which is Petros. So actually, Petros is Peter, Petras is rock. So it's kind of a little wordplay. So we have this scene on the hillside. The disciples are sitting around talking. One of the things we know is that occasionally it is a good time and a good idea to step back and review one's life's work until this point. We call it an evaluation or taking stock. And our readings today suggest that that is just what Jesus is doing. He is stepping back to review his life and ministry. He's been traveling with his disciples, teaching, listening, reaching out to all those people that he encounters. It's a kind of divine energy that is being released into the world through Jesus. And this divine energy includes a passion for God's justice, healing and compassion for all people, reconciliation and acceptance for the previously unaccepted person. You see, something special is happening in Jesus' life and ministry and to those who follow him. Yet even when good things are happening, even when everything is going just the way we want to, it is still important, if not essential, to step back every now and then and ask, what's really going on here? Where have we been? Where do we want to go? What are our lives all about? I like to call it the view from the balcony. You get the whole picture from the balcony as you look down, and it's always good to get a look at the whole picture. And it is in this light that Jesus begins asking the disciples some rather illuminating questions. He asks, who do people say that I am? It's a good question. It's one that they have obviously thought about quite a bit, because the disciples begin rattling off answer after answer, a list of the names and titles that they have been hearing through the grapevine. Well, Jesus, some people say that you are John the Baptist, or at least like John the Baptist. And well, some think you are the second coming of our great prophet Elijah. Still others believe you are stern and rigid like Jeremiah or one of the other great prophets from the Jewish tradition. In other words, people are beginning to rank you right up there with the greatest Jewish prophets in history. You're really making a name for yourself, Jesus. You're going places. We would say Jesus is going viral, trending, blowing up Twitter, or whatever passed as the latest social media in that day and age. And it all looks good. He is known. He's even popular in some circles. His message is getting out there to the people. How easy it would have been just to stop there. After all, what more could he want? He came to put his message out, and it's happening. But fortunately for all of us, popularity is not what Jesus was planning or seeking. Jesus wasn't asking the disciples what people were saying about him as some sort of political poll, taking the temperature of the nation like a politician. No, Jesus is trying to take the disciples to a new level, to the next level, to a deeper level of recognition of just who he is, which is why he turns to them and asks the second question, a far more important question. Who do you say that I am? And then Peter, impetuous Peter. He was like that kid in the classroom when you were growing up, that hand always went up as soon as the teacher asked a question. He always had his hand up in class, always ready with an answer. And he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And can you just imagine the smile of satisfaction and pride beginning to spread across his face as he sits back down? Because he's right, after all. At least in one sense he's right. He's got the right words. And that's when Jesus begins to make things complicated. He tells Jesus he's right and that God has revealed this to him. But then he pops that bubble of pride quickly by telling the disciples that they can't tell anyone who he really is. What? Why? Why does Jesus silence Peter's perfectly good answer? The right answer. Well, as the lyrics from The King and I, the musical by Rodgers and Hammerstein, there is a song in it called Is a Puzzlement that the king sings. And he says, there are times I almost think I am not sure of what I absolutely know. Very often find confusion in conclusion I concluded long ago. In my head are many facts that as a student I have studied to procure. In my head are many facts of which I wish I was more certain I was sure. 'Tis a puzzlement. That can be said about Jesus so very often. Jesus' instructions suggest that a correct answer is not always the solution to the problem. Jesus' instructions suggest that we can say the correct theological words without understanding the theological meaning of those words. In other words, we can give the right answer, but that is no guarantee that we understand what we are talking about. And that is important because when it comes to faith, the meaning, understanding what we say, is everything. So today I ask you, what is it for you to say? What does it mean for you to say that Jesus is the Christ? What does it mean for us to say that Jesus is the Christ? More and more, what makes sense to me is this. Christ was and is not just a person, and Christ is not just a title, and Christ is certainly not Jesus' last name. I believe that Christ is the word that names the divine energy that was released into the world through the life of Jesus. On my family's recent vacation to Ulysses, Pennsylvania, one of 10 extraordinary places in the country to view the planets and constellations, we learn that when a star explodes, new planets are created and new life begins. We are literally made of stardust. God's mighty act of creation, continuing still today. In the life of God's Son, Jesus the Christ, a certain kind of divine energy exploded into the world, and this explosive, expanding energy is still transforming hearts, changing the lives of millions of people around the world. I believe this energy is nothing less than the energy and presence of God in and around us. Unconditional love and unmerited, inexhaustible grace was released into the world through the life of Jesus the Christ. God's creative, transformational, and inspiring goodness were released into the world through the life of Jesus the Christ. Compassion exploded into the world through the life of Jesus the Christ. So much energy, divine energy, that it's like Jesus the Christ is a sort of supernova, a burst of God's energy that continues to be vital in shaping our world, one heart, one person, one congregation, and one community at a time. See, anyone can say that Jesus is the Christ. That's easy. Words are always easy. But take a step back and ask yourself this. Can you feel the energy and the power of the divine Christ within you? Is Jesus the Christ alive within you? Because it's not the words you recite. It is the divine living energy of Christ in you that matters most. As I study for this sermon, I came across a story about a woman who was ill and alone. She was at home, dying of complications from AIDS. It would have been hard to overstate how depressed and discouraged she must have been feeling. In fact, a friend of hers was so concerned that she called her pastor to come by and visit with the woman. Well, when the pastor got there, the woman, displaying great honesty, told the minister, "Look, I have made such a mess of my life. I've made so many mistakes. How could God ever forgive me? Well, the minister listened and then said to her, God can forgive anyone, anytime. You just have to trust it, receive it. Let it come close to you and embrace God's forgiving energy. And the woman responded, I think I am beyond believing. Well, the minister happened to notice that on the woman's bedroom dresser was a picture of a beautiful young girl. She looked to be about 12 years old in the picture, and he asked the woman, who is the little girl in the picture? Well, for the first time in the conversation, the woman smiled. She said, that's my daughter. She's the only beautiful thing I have left in my life. The minister said, if your daughter made some mistakes and was hurting and broken, wouldn't you forgive her? Wouldn't you come close to her and still love her? Wouldn't you still want her to be in your life? The woman, whispering and in tears now, said, yes, 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 of course. And then the pastor made a powerful connection for that woman, that lonely, sad, and hurting woman. And he said, I want you to know that there is a picture of you on God's dresser. God still loves you. You are not alone, and you are not beyond forgiveness. Can you feel the Christ energy in that moment? Anytime we treat another person with dignity and respect, and every time we bring a little compassion to another human being, especially a human being that is hurting and broken, and whenever we offer love as a way of life, we bring Christ to others. And that great Christ explosion that started centuries ago continues into our time and in our place. The Italian writer Ignazio Salone once wrote, if we treat one another in the same way that Jesus treated people, it will be as if Jesus never left the world. The explosion keeps moving forward through us. So thinking about Christ as this creative, transforming energy points us followers of Jesus in two different directions. Firstly, it is a gift to receive. It is a gift we all need because we're all broken by the challenges of life. We're lonely, we're insecure, or we're anxious. We're hurt, or we're angry, or we're bitter. We are all broken in some way. Believing in the great exploding divine energy of Christ is to believe that love is at the heart of all life, as is grace and forgiveness and kindness, life ingredients we and this world desperately need. Secondly, the other directions of Jesus' followers is to share Christ's energy with others. We are called to receive Christ's energy, and we are called to share Christ's energy with others. We share Christ by acting Christ-like. Anytime we encounter others, we share Christ by finding ways to release Christ into the universe. There is an old Jewish tale about a rabbi asking his students how they can tell that a new day has dawned upon the earth. Well, one crafty student said, you can tell it is a new day when there is enough light to see the difference between an apple tree and a pear tree. It's a good answer, but it seems it is not the right answer because the rabbi continued to look around. Another student said, Rabbi, you can tell it's a new day when you can look down the road and you can tell whether or not the animal up ahead is a fox or a dog. Again, a good answer. Again, not the right answer. The rabbi paused for a long time looking around at his students, and finally he said, it is a new day when there is enough light that allows you to see the face of another human being, and looking upon that face, you see your brother or sister. Until that happens, it is still night. As followers of Jesus, we say it this way. It's a new day every time I look for and see the face of Christ in another human being, in the homeless people on the streets in every community, in the church members I see every Sunday morning, in that frustrating family member that I just don't understand, in the friend that I have fallen out with. The day we see Christ in others is the day that a new day has dawned. To say Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, it's so easy. But to discover the energy and to receive it and then to share it, that is a lifelong journey to a well-lived life. I think Thomas Merton was onto something when he said that Jesus was like a great magnifying glass, and through him the light of God came to the world in a concentrated and beautiful way. And when we place our dry and brittle lives under that light, the spirit of each person comes ablaze with newness. That is the power of Jesus the Christ. Divine light, divine energy, and divine love that still explodes within the complexity of the human heart. To know that energy, share it with others. My friends, that is everything. Amen.